The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network. Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show.
Hello, hello, Spook Show fans. It's your old pal, Cousin Zach, coming to you live from the Gas Digital Studios. Wow, what a fun day we are about to have. If you love the show, and I know you do, head on over to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use that promo code ZAC for a 7-day free trial. And if you really love the show, you can go to PodcastMerch.com, where we have t-shirts, long sleeves, hats, and hoodies. And thank you for wearing those out to shows. Guys, today is a very special episode. We are going to have a ton of fun, and we are watching a very gory, very silly slasher from the 80s, which you know is our bread and butter here on the show. To my right, joining us for the first time in a while, but good friend of the show, we got Trey Gallion.
Hey.
Good to see you, buddy.
You too, man.
It's great to have you back, man.
Thanks for having me back.
Vilkoman, you're the fucking man, dude. And to my left, film reviewer from England, and very excited to have him here, we got John Joe Lyons.
What's going on, Zach? Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you coming all the way out here. We're going to have a great episode. You're the one who picked the movie.
Yep.
And thank you so much. So let's get plugs out of the way. Please tell them about what you do, buddy.
So if you go to youtube.com/ John Joe Lyons, I review extreme horror movies. I do really deep, in-depth, like, spoiler reviews, and then at the end do an analysis and fill the whole thing with a load of really immature jokes that make me laugh and make other people laugh, so come through to that. And if you want to see the videos completely uncut, for just $2 a month, go to patreon.com/ John Joe Lyons. That's JonJoLyons.
Fantastic. Please check that out. His YouTube page is fucking super cool, and I'm very happy to have him here on the show. Trey, what do you want people to check out?
Instagram and TikTok at Trey Gallion, TreyGallion, oh, and Twitter too.
Fantastic. You know,
I mean, I'm somewhat active on those.
Yeah.
As active as a comedian. No.
Yeah. You got any dates you want to plug?
Yeah. May 12th and 13th. Good Nights in Raleigh, headline in their little room.
Sick.
And then the weekend after that, May 19th and 20th, recording an album for the Helium Records guys at Cap City in Austin at the new room there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Please go check that out.
Please.
And guys, if you want to see me, I am out on the road. If you're listening live, I will be in, I'll be at Yonkers Comedy Club all weekend featuring for Lewis. And then going out on some headlining dates, March the 25th, I'm at Laugh It Up Mahoney's in Poughkeepsie, bringing Andy Malafarina with me. Then on April the 1st, I'm at Soul Joel's in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. April the 4th, I am at New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Connecticut, and just booked April the 20th, 420, I am in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. Nice. So please come hang out as I am starting to headline out on the road. I appreciate all you guys very much. And thank you for supporting the show. Alex is about to have this goddamn baby. Go on her Instagram at I Am Alex Scar. Click on that registry link. And if there's anything left for this fucking kid, buy it. Because we want to make that a spoiled little baby that we all love very much.
Thank you, Zach.
Perfect little Gas Digital baby. Aura, we love you already, sweetheart. Before we go any further, how about a word from our sponsor? Hey guys, real quick, I just want to thank one of our incredible sponsors, and that is Yo Kratom, home of the $60 kilo. Guys, YoKratom.com is simply one of the greatest sponsors in the world. They are the marquee sponsor for Skankfest, everything we do here at Gas Digital. If you use Kratom, and don't start on my account, but if you use Kratom, there's no other place to be getting it. Stop going to bodegas, smoke shops, and gas stations for your Kratom and getting just a little bit at a time when you can go to YoKratom.com, the spot that has the best customer service, all the best strains, and they support the comedians you love. So check it out, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. And we're back, guys. Today's movie, 1989, Intruder. It's a slasher. It's in a grocery store. The Raimis are in it. John Joe picked it.
I can't
It's going to be gory. It's going to be silly. It's on Shudder. So you can sync up the movie if you just download the audio. We'll do a 10 count for you, and you know how to do it. Or you can just go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use that promo code Zach, watch the movie with us anytime you want, on demand, uncensored. Or we do show the movie for free every Friday at midnight with a pre-stream starting at 11:30 of silly little videos curated by myself and Alex. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we go any further, ladies in the booth, roll that beautiful bean footage.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ah, the true sign of auteurship. The full moon logo.
I don't remember this being a full moon movie.
No, I'd imagine they acquired it.
Right, okay.
But it is the true sign of somebody had a vision. And that vision was a movie that's an hour and 10 minutes long.
Yes.
With 15 minutes of credits.
God bless you.
The Charles Band model.
Yeah, man. Did you see the newest Puppet Master?
Yes, I did.
Was it good? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, wait, is it Blade or is it The Littlest Reich? I saw The Littlest Reich. I didn't see the Blade one.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think it's The Littlest Reich, yeah.
Oh, there's one after. There's a Blade. There's a... The Blade puppet has its own movie now.
Really?
But I did see The Littlest Reich, and I liked it. Thomas Lennon was in it.
Okay.
From Reno 911.
Yeah, I know the guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was written by the guy that did Brawl in Cell Block 99. And,
right. Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he wrote it. I think... It was like a side project, but it was pretty good. It laid heavy on the Nazi stuff.
Right, okay, as
the puppet masters tend to get.
Yeah.
Hey, Billy Burr. Not the same Bill Burr, right? I would assume. Though he did go by Billy when he first started.
Right.
Well, there's an Estevez in this. Is she part of the Estevez clan?
Oh, Renee Estevez?
Yeah.
I want to see. Can
Little
you look
sister
it up?
They don't talk about?
She is on the cover, like she's the main girl. Hey, Bruce Campbell is also on the DVD cover, and he's in about 30 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
Does it involve a deli slicer? No spoilers. Never mind. I don't want to know.
Because of the Raimi cameos and Bruce Campbell, that's why I suggested it, along with one kill in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And effects by Greg Nicotero.
Yep.
That's literally K&B effects, those three guys who would go on to do Walking Dead and all the Tarantino shit.
King Wilder, Gene Wilder's son.
But yeah, so this is very early work by K&B, I guess, right?
Yeah, 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 I guess so.
And who would go on to be crazy famous special effects guys.
They did the effects for From Dusk Till Dawn as well, didn't
mm-hmm.
they?
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, they did all Tarantino stuff. They did all The Walking Dead now. Nicotero, in particular, is very famous. He did all the Creepshow shit that's been on Shudder. So yeah, this is basically everybody's... Everybody's a baby in this one, pretty much. I mean, Raimis and Bruce Campbell are established.
Yeah.
But pretty much there's a lot of people starting out.
Man, you were lying about 10-minute credits.
Nothing like that. There's nothing like, especially a full moon release, that it's, hey, let's credit everyone that worked on it up top and again at the back so we can pad out. But and it's always a shot of nothing.
Yeah.
How long's the movie? Yeah, yeah, 90 minutes. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then the story's really tight and you don't waste any time. So.
Oh, I completely agree. There's some full moon movies that are like an hour 12 with 20 minutes of credits.
Oh, this grocery store, that ain't no Key Foods.
So this was shot in...
Someplace rural.
In Bell, California, during evenings while the store was closed. So this is all, I would assume, the real grocery store.
Yeah.
At Bell, California, obviously not in the L.A. metropolitan area, just from that exterior shot.
I would assume not. But, I mean, I guess that's got to be convenient to not have to do any art direction if you're in a real grocery store.
Yeah, well, that's what Kevin Smith did, isn't
it?
Right.
Yeah.
Dave asked you out yet? No, he's still seeing Carrie.
I mean, the interchangeability of, like, this chopping ball.
Yeah.
Am I interrupting something?
No.
It could all be one. I bet you could edit.
She looks familiar.
I believe you're right, yeah.
Oh, that might be the Estevez.
It might be, yeah.
And she is part of the
clan.
Right,
she is part of the clan, right? What else is she? I know I've seen her in other stuff.
Oh, she's in Heathers. She's in Single White Female and a number of other things.
Yeah.
Is she the titular Single White Female?
I'm not sure.
No.
I'm sorry.
I bet you could do a supercut of like four or five different of the overnight, like... stuck somewhere slashers.
Yeah.
And you could edit them together like it's one movie.
I'd watch that. I'd definitely watch that.
Right?
Yeah, I'm gonna go I would too. Up some cards.
That's a pretty good idea.
You almost do like a greatest hits. That's something else Full Moon does now, where they'll take like three or four bad sequels and cut together all the best deaths and release it like it's a new one.
Oh, okay.
They did that with the Killjoy movies.
Right.
They did that with one of the other series as well, where it's just edited together deaths.
But will they like record like an extra sort of wraparound thing to make
yeah,
it seem
they record
like,
but just VO. It's all old
oh,
shots.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
They and don't even shoot anything new. They re-edited all the Killjoys into one movie, basically.
Right.
And I was like, is there a new Killjoy? And then I started watching going, I feel like I know this. And then like half an hour in, I'm like, I'm watching a Best of Killjoy, aren't yeah. I?
It almost sounds reminiscent of Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 as well.
Oh, yeah. Trey, are you familiar with that?
No.
Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, the first, 40 minutes is just the first Silent Night, Deadly Night.
But like cut down.
Oh, really?
Down,
yeah, yeah. And then there's like another half an hour of new movie.
Yeah. Which is where that, you know, Garbage Day. Have you ever seen that clip?
Yeah,
that's Silent Night from that too, yeah. Yeah, good movie. I like it.
There's a little fucking panty line going on there. Some decent cheeks underneath some not-so-revealing pants.
Yeah, so those are totally 80s pants. High-waisted, baggy cut. There's pleats in the front for sure.
This has got to be a dream to shoot, have this, all this fucking space. And
yeah, good production.
One of the things we talk about on the show, one of the best ways to save money, one location.
Yeah, oh.
Lock your characters somewhere because a company moves, there's so much money.
Have a good night.
Yeah, man.
I've said it loads on my channel, but like I love single location stories. And it's just the filmmaker in me in the sense of it just costs nothing to do.
Yeah, everyone knows where they're going.
Yeah.
Nobody gets lost the second week.
Yeah, you can pretend that you're trying to be an artist and it's like a stage play and all of that, but really it's just money.
I really can believe that. You know, I got a gimp hand from writing you letter after letter, just hoping you'd write one back to me.
Craig, this is no time.
When is a good time, Jennifer? Huh? A year from now, maybe two?
This was his audition.
You don't know what I
this is definitely the sides they gave him to read for this.
He's like
he's got it.
He's like the least threatening... Supposed to be scary, dude.
Oh,
ever.
Absolutely. His beard looks magic markered on.
He's gonna die soon.
Where are you going? See what the trouble is. Never once did those girls work that along properly. Just finish looking over the contracts and check on the girls, then close the store.
Typical big business.
Well,
do you guys ever do that? Bet on who's gonna be the first one to go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's usually kind of obvious. I don't think it is in this one.
I think they do a bait and switch in this one.
Right.
In the way that, A, it was advertised, B, the way it's kind of set up.
Uh-huh.
I think
it's
they actually,
for the
yeah.
Cigarettes.
The person you think is going to be the survivor of the movie, basically, they set up to kill first in this one, I think.
Really?
Yeah, a la Scream, Psycho.
Wait, I'm sorry about what happened. I really am. But as far as you and I are concerned, it's over, and it's been over for a year now.
The Deadly Spawn we watched recently, and they killed the girl that was supposed to be the final girl in that because she just quit the movie.
Right.
So they had to kill her and have some other character just show up like 3/4 into the movie to be the survivor because the main girl stopped showing up.
You're not listening to me.
Showed her.
You're hurting me.
Yeah, that's one of the trauma rules of production, is you do all the nude scenes first.
You're crazy!
That way, like 3 weeks...
When they bail?
That way, if they try to bail in 3 weeks, they're like, or I'm not doing... They're like, I'm not doing that nude scene. You'd be like, bye, bitch.
Yeah, or they try and hike the price up or something like that, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, sometimes actresses... Because they know you have them in the can and that would cost you so much money to reshoot.
Yeah.
They'll all of a sudden want to negotiate again. So you always do nude scenes and effects first so that you can get the rest of the shit done. And that way the hard shits... Because sometimes people are, like, nervous, too.
Well,
and you don't want it looming over you the whole shoot. So if you get those scenes done first, and then you can just do the easy shit last.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just, as soon as they were like, hey, we're shooting the nude scenes first, I'd be like, all right, I'm out.
Oh, there's Ted Raimi.
Was that Ted or Sam?
Oh, I think it's... Oh, maybe it is Sam.
Yeah, that's Sam.
Oh,
I think.
Shit, okay.
All right, come on, now listen up.
Sam Raimi, director of Evil Dead, the first run of Spider-Man movies, as well as, fuck, what was that really good bulimia one? With Justin Long.
Oh, Drag Me to Hell.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I said that like people know that's a movie about bulimia.
Yeah, I didn't as well. I was like,
I didn't
what?
Like
rewatch it. It's about bulimia.
Okay. Really?
When you look at her in Drag Me to Hell, all the pictures of her as a kid, she's super fat.
Right.
And there's an inference that something happened where she got skinny. And if you notice, every single thing that happens to her in the movie either comes out of her mouth or someone else's mouth onto her.
Right.
The whole movie's about puking.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, it's wild.
That movie jacked up my head a little bit.
That was a good movie.
That was one of those where it ended and it was like, hot damn, man, I need a minute.
When I first saw it, I didn't like it, but I think it's because I was expecting a lot more blood and violence and that sort of stuff. But that movie's not really about that.
Yeah, I wasn't at all, and I was so happy with the scene with the fortune teller when it just goes full Evil Dead.
Yeah, yeah,
and all the animals start moving and shit.
Yeah. Did you see the new Doctor Strange that he directed?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
The parts of that were very Sam Raimi, I loved.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not a big Marvel guy, but I enjoyed that. Yeah. I mean, I love Guardians.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
some of the Marvel gets a little much for me.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'm not heartless. I heard the fucking X-Men music and flipped the fuck out.
Yeah, man, yeah.
Dude, a couple of those Thors are really good, too. A couple of the Thors.
I actually really like Ragnarok.
Yeah,
yeah,
man.
Ragnarok's really good.
That's one I can watch multiple times, for sure. I love this guy. Look at how young he is.
Yeah. Yeah, and goes on to be a very, very, very famous director.
Okay, he's going to make it till the end.
Oh, I doubt it. Oh, I doubt that. I believe. And
well, you planted that seed in my brain that they have a twist here,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, which one of the girls is going to die?
If I'm correct, that's foreshadowing because he was supposed to get gutted in this movie,
right?
Until they figured out how he did die, which is reminiscent of what he's watching right now.
Gotcha.
But he was supposed to be gutted, and then I think his brother came up with the gag of how he actually dies.
Yeah, that's like if they show a whole rack of hooks in the first 5 minutes of the movie, it's like, well, those are going to come into play.
Yeah, I guess, what is that, a Chekhov's gun situation?
Yeah, I was going to say Chekhov's hook, yeah.
Yeah. They say that's what a filmmaking thing, that if you show a gun in the first act, somebody has to fire it in the third.
Mm. Same rule if you show your dick in the first act.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
As a man who's shown his dick in the first act of movies.
Ah.
And then again in the third.
And you shot those scenes first.
No, that luxury was provided for the ladies. I was forced to shoot mine at the end of the shoot. And then again in reshoots.
Oh, no.
And then when I said, I'm not sure if I should be naked here, I was screamed at, well, you were naked before. What the fuck's wrong with you?
So you kind of wanted to get naked.
It was my idea. I didn't realize how long. You don't realize how long a day is until you're naked the whole day.
Right, because it was just like constantly robe on and off the whole time? Or
not
just
even robe, sheet. Second time I did it, I bought myself a robe.
Yeah, there you go.
I assumed I would get a robe.
Smart
and that's,
monkey.
You know, that's my fault. So it was sheet with two juggalos covering me.
That sounds like a good Friday night.
What movie was that?
That was Return to Nukem High.
Right.
If I've told it on the show before, I apologize. I'll keep it really brief. There's a scene where the two girls in the movie, so it's like a high school movie, and they tell me to take my clothes off and meet them in the parent or like the teacher's lounge,
uh-huh.
And they're both gonna fuck me and they're pranking me. But in the scene, we're practicing, and the bit is I get naked, I run, and I hang a left, and we rehearse it. Clothes on, clothes on, clothes on. Rehearse it, clothes off, hang a left. And we're in this. That's Ted Raimi, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So we're in a, used to be a high school. Now it's an artist space where people rent different rooms for different shows. And we had paid $2,000 to have the school for a month. Because we got a sweetheart deal, right? So we rehearse it, bang, you know, get naked, bang a left. Get naked, bang a left. We do the first take. I get naked. I get nervous. I hang a right. I walk into.
Did your dick go left?
Oh boy, life went left. I walked into, and I apologize. I don't know a better term for this.
Yeah.
Adult daycare.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I gotcha.
I walked into a room of 25 special needs adults, many of whom, no joke, were wearing helmets.
Right.
And I just ran in naked screaming and went, ah, and then closed the door and ran back.
Well, good news is they're probably used to that in that room.
Or yeah. Who's going to believe them?
Right?
If they came home that day, like, how was school? A naked fat man ran in and ran out. You're like, sure he did, Sparky.
And they're like, oh, it's Tuesday?
Yeah. These are some fucking obscure beer brands. I guess they turned around a lot of the major brands.
Oh, came up with their own labels.
I don't know. So I've never heard of Chihuahua beer.
I've always found that funny that like
brands. I've been to Mexico.
Brands
enough.
Need you need their permission to show their stuff. Like, shouldn't it just all be free advertising?
I think it depends. Like, they already showed Tricks and a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm sure, and then some of them, the bigger ones, probably come back and be like, "Well, no, you got to pay me if you want to do."
Yeah.
That.
And I guess as well, they want to be represented in art that they approve of.
Yeah, like I know, and this sounds dumb, but M&M's wouldn't do E.T.
Right.
That's why she eats Reese's Pieces.
Right.
Because okay. M&M, they thought it was going to be a scary movie and that the idea right. of the alien eating M&M's was going to freak kids out.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out the greatest piece of advertising in history for candy.
Right, okay.
Chihuahua Cerveza is a real beer.
Good to know.
Wow. Is it from Chihuahua, Mexico? Mexico?
No, it's just dog piss. Does it look like I'm kidding? This guy's acting a little kinda. Too much.
Yeah.
He's trying.
No, and I get he's trying. But there's the way he had his hand like that, I feel like he's just it's a little too acting.
Hey man, no means no. This is inappropriate. I mean, I understand this was the 80s and all, but that was still a little aggressive even for the 80s.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. Yeah, kick his ass. And he's still not going to die first.
Yeah, so I think this is a continuity thing. One of the ways they can tell. So it's all supposed to be one night, but the TV guides get switched out. So you can tell when they shot it because it's a different TV guide in the rack every week.
That's hilarious.
And that's how you know that it's not chronologically one night of shooting.
But look, that's how non-threatening that guy's character is. Yeah. Is a grocery store manager and a stock boy were like, oh, we got this. We'll take care of this guy.
My friend Steve used to work security at the local grocery store I grew up in. It was Stop and Shop.
Mm-hmm.
But we called it Stop and Shit because there was a lady that used to go in there and just shit on the floor. And
Jesus.
And it was his job to try and catch her. She would just walk in. She must have been mentally ill, I hope. Or she just hated the store. She would walk in, drop her pants, shit in the middle of the aisle, pull them up and walk out. And he would have all the security footage on his phone because she did it so many times.
Same aisle every time?
No, she mixed it up.
Right, okay.
But we used to call it Stop and Shit.
Because you'd start to think like, well, maybe she's mad at one particular brand. You know, like, wow, she really hates Spick and Span.
Yeah. Oh, it's like Pavlovian every time she sees it.
Or just out of spite. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to go to the grocery store and shit in front of the Spick and Span.
Yeah, that was back in the day when that was an acceptable. Everybody used to. We had a Wiz. Did you guys have the Wiz? Was that a store?
No.
It was an electronics store when I was a kid, and everybody used to go Wiz on the Wiz.
No.
Everybody used to pee on the Wiz, and then I said it before, the funniest thing I've ever seen. My friend shit on the window of an Outback Steakhouse.
Jesus.
While a family was eating.
Oh, fuck.
It was like the glass wall of an Outback Steakhouse. And my friend put his asshole on it and shit down it, and it went like a wacky wall crawler.
Oh, my God.
While a family was eating dinner.
Oh.
And it might be the funniest thing I've ever seen. Oh, no way. It's another shit related thing, but. All my funniest moments, I think, are poop related.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that at a Waffle House, but it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
And it felt really good.
Well, that's what Waffle House is for.
Oh, so good.
You go Waffle House over Cracker Barrel?
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
I've been here for over 10 years. I've made this store my life.
John Joe, is that the most, is that like the pinnacle of what they, what people think Americans eat?
Well, Waffle House.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like McDonald's, what's the chicken, fried chicken place?
KFC?
No, not Chick-fil-A. KFC. Chick-fil-A, oh, okay. But the other one as well.
Popeye's.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, I'm going to do a little bit of a food tour while I'm out here, man. Going to get some stuff that I haven't had before. Yeah, I want to try some of the street vendors, but like I'm also worried about getting food poisoning and fucking up the rest of my time.
Just go to one that has a decent line.
Yeah.
Always just tell if there's people. It's the same as like little restaurants or anything. If there's people there, you're good.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's probably like the halal carts and stuff. You probably get that in England. You know, lamb and rice and chicken and rice and all that.
Yeah, but we don't have like the carts like you do in the city.
Really?
No, you have like restaurants and stuff, yeah. You'll have them dotted about. But no sort of street vendors, really. I mean, like in Brighton where I live, there's a really nice hot dog stand outside of the mall. But apart from that, it's like, hardly ever.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Figure that they'd be hip to that. Food trucks are a big deal, man. Yeah.
I don't know if it's different like in central London, but I know where I live, it isn't like that at all.
Well, I'd suggest like, I don't know, get your fill of the food carts, I guess, but then really try out like some soul food, get you some catfish and some biscuits and gravy and that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah. I want to get some nice street tacos.
Oh, yeah. That's easy enough. Nothing beats a good taco.
Yeah, I forget that the stuff we have here is basically illegal in Europe.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, last time I was here, I had McDonald's. And before I came over, I wasn't really that big on McDonald's. But I don't know what the fuck you lot put in that stuff. But, yeah, when I went back, I was addicted to it for, like, 2 months, and it wasn't quite the same, you know?
So it's not just a conspiracy theory. They put something in that.
We were talking outside about my buddy Liam, who made Eating Miss Campbell and My Bloody Banjo. And we worked on a movie down south here. That Jerome was putting out called Curse of the Weredeer.
Right.
And he had a liter of cotton candy Faygo.
Right.
And he was like, they would never sell. Like, this is such an illegal amount of sugar if I was in England. Because he couldn't fit it. It was a liter bottle. And he's like, I could drink half of this.
Yeah.
And then my body's going to, like, shut down.
Yeah. Going to shock or whatever. Yeah, My Bloody Banjo was the other movie I was trying to remember the title of earlier. I didn't realize that guy was British.
Yeah. Yeah, Liam, I worked on Return to Nukem High with.
Cool.
And then he made both those, and he's super, super talented.
Yeah. I mean, it seems that the Eating Miss Campbell movie looks great.
And it's wildly funny.
Yeah.
I wish I was.
Oh, that's a little subtle camera prison trick there, where she's in prison, but she's behind the bars.
Right, okay. I never would have noticed that.
Dude, we're almost a half hour in and nobody's died yet, right?
Well, no, we did the intro.
It has taken a while for that first kill to come around.
Yeah, it's got a good body count, though.
He looks pathetic.
What a great edit.
I'm scared outside the door. You know? Kicked me out, me.
Yeah, I think I realize what he reminds me of, why I can't take him seriously, is he makes faces like Mac from Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah.
So it does. It is like that. It's just a slight bit of overacting, I think.
And that she was facing the door, like she would have seen
him. Oh yeah, she definitely would have seen him. She was looking right at him. Have you guys ever worked nights?
Yeah,
that's a cool shot.
Ooh, that is a cool shot with the old phone.
Have you guys ever worked nights?
Yeah.
Like once for a call center, but it didn't last long. I guess what I do now is working nights, but it's easy because I can get drunk at the same time while I do it, you know?
I drove a cab in Austin, the overnight shift, for like 5-6 years. I'll tell
you about it when
I
get home. Yeah. I did, I was a doorman for a while, but then I was a logger for a reality show.
Right, okay.
So I was transcribing the footage that comes in, and that was an overnight gig.
Yeah.
So I was in a giant, like, corporate building, like an office building. But, like, there was, like, four of us.
Mm.
And it was terrifying at night.
Right. Yeah, I think I heard that Tom Segura did the same job. Like, you basically list everything that's happened in the footage so that they can then...
Oh, I literally had to make, like, a script. But, yes. Right. Very similar. Yeah.
Well, like, they use it for the captions or whatever?
No, that goes to the story producer. And that way they can, so they basically take the script you make and they can sync it to the raw footage. So that way when they scroll through, they see what people are saying.
Oh, I got you.
So they can kind of scroll through your script instead of like going through the footage.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, now that's one of the Raimis?
That's Ted Raimi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, if you see Ted Raimi in a movie, assume he's going to die violently. I don't know if he's in a movie where he doesn't have a violent death scene.
Somebody's going to die on that thing, too.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, don't do that with your teeth. That's bad.
Ted Raimi's the hag in the basement as well in Evil Dead, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Ted Raimi is that's awesome. The lady in the basement. He's...
Yeah.
Anytime there's, like, in the Sam Raimi movies, if there's, like, an unseen character or somebody covered in shit...
It's him.
Usually, yeah, he's doing, like, a lot of the... They joke that he's, like, the Shemp.
Mm.
They just fill him in and shit.
You know, I actually... I just finished playing The Quarry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got, obviously, Ted Raimi in it, David Arquette. Ted Raimi's really good in it. He's really quite menacing. I really enjoyed that game.
I like him a lot. He's there's a serial killer movie he did. I think Skinned or something like that.
Mm.
That I've heard he's very good in.
Okay.
And he's always been very kind at conventions. He comes over to the trauma booth.
Oh yeah.
And hangs out a lot. He's a very nice guy. I put him in there's like a certain class of like the horror actors that are just like very happy with what they've done.
Yeah.
And they come to cons just to chill.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's him, Felissa Rose from Sleepaway Camp is like the nicest.
Yeah, she seems nice.
There's a couple people that are Tiffany Shepis, who's in a ton of bad movies. They're just always like, they're just down people. They're really fun.
Is Kane Hodder on that list?
Kane Hodder, I have mixed reviews from people.
Yeah, I've heard.
I know he likes to have a good time, but yeah. I know he got sued. Or allegedly, so I don't want to say no, he got sued.
Yeah.
I think he allegedly was sued for, because he would take pictures of people, but the deal was if you paid him for a picture, you got a nice picture. If you asked for a picture for free, he would, like, pretend to choke you, but be a little aggressive about it. And I think somebody might have claimed he really choked them.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole story, but...
With the picture as well, it's kind of hard to defend yourself in that regard.
With the picture of you choking someone, it is hard... To say no, I wasn't.
Yeah.
The best at cons is when all the actors get hammered and there's karaoke.
Oh, right.
Because you'll just walk in on, like, hilarious shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, I think it was the mom from Pet Sematary just doing shots.
Yeah.
Like, I saw the Crypt Keeper do Bohemian Rhapsody. The guy that's the voice.
In The Voice? Did he do The Voice?
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
And then, oh, fuck. Oh, my favorite. I saw Richard Grieco do Pearl Jam.
Right.
We just walked into a bar at the hotel and we're like, it's a good Pearl Jam cover. And we're like, is that fucking Richard Grieco? Oh.
Wait, did he put out some music at one point?
He might have. And I think we had just watched him.
That's funny because you know, he was singing Pearl Jam. Like, he wanted to, he was like, I'm going to knock this out of the park. These people are going to love me.
I only know him from that one episode of It's Always Sunny.
Yeah. Oh, we quoted. He was out. People were like, what are you doing? I'm like, he's doing a Grieco thing.
Yeah.
I told him it was lunch. I don't know what the hell he is.
What's that guy doing to that orange?
The only time they show up is when you're speeding. Then they're on your ass immediately.
Does that man just have nails in an orange?
Yeah.
That's no way to need an orange.
Yeah?
Yep.
Give her up, though.
Why? Too dangerous?
Well, not that it was too dangerous.
Wait, so I don't even know what is this just like the late night crew?
Yeah, I think it's the overnight shift.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I would imagine they're the stock people.
Yeah, I believe they're getting it ready for the next day.
Yeah, yeah, they're like the stock boys and shit.
Yeah.
Look at that ashtray. Looks like he's got like low rent tiger stripes on it. Looks like a perfect thing you'd find at like a garage sale or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty dope.
That must have taken a real toll on the pottery and glass blowing community when people stopped smoking inside.
Yeah.
I feel like ashtray is just a tough buy now. Well, and it was the number one gift when I was a kid.
Right.
Well, people that didn't smoke got ashtrays for like Father's Day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do have a friend that took a pottery class recently, and that's one of the things that they make is still ashtrays.
Well, the first thing because it's the easiest.
Yeah, probably easy, small.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom taught ceramics. And I feel like that was like a similar thing.
Yeah.
He's
holding
the head by the hair in one hand and his hamburger in the other, and he's still eating it. Then, of course, needless to say, everybody just...
So this story that this guy is telling is not just in this movie. I believe in Raising Arizona. Hold on, I got to get this right. I don't want to fuck this up.
You're saying.
So it's basically like a joke / anecdote, but if I'm correct, the name Bill Roberts is used in the head in one hand, hamburger in the other story in Raising Arizona, which Bill Roberts is also the name of the co-owner who tells the same story twice in this movie.
Right.
Had any more trouble with that guy since we've talked? Have we?
Well, he called a little while ago.
Well, did he make any threats?
That's a big ghoulish man.
Nope.
And we ran a check on this guy,
Craig Peterson,
yes. Well, all we know is that...
He legitimately sounded like he didn't know his line and the other guy was helping him.
Don't hesitate. Here's my card.
Those are the least intimidating police officers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like... That's my card. Yeah. Does that happen often, two super old as fuck cops together as partners, or would you have like one younger just in case?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen an old cop like that. I mean, now the whole reason to be a cop is because you retire in your 40s.
Right.
I feel like that's almost every cop I've ever met. Within an hour tells me how long they have until they're retiring.
Yeah. I guess anyone that's super old is probably like a detective or someone like that. They're still like on the beat.
Yeah, you're definitely not answering shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, to be completely honest with you, nobody's answering shit anymore. Mm. Unless there is a violent crime in process, the cops ain't coming.
Really?
Not in New York anymore, no.
Fuck, that's good to know.
No, unless you're in immediate danger. But New York's not. People are saying New York... If you go to shitty neighborhoods, yes, but it's fine.
Oh, you better believe that was like the first thing I Googled. Like, where not to fucking go.
Yeah, and Manhattan's almost all pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good for the most part. Yeah, man, I mean, it'll be pretty obvious. Yeah, the blocks you're not supposed to be walking down, you know?
Yeah, you'll know pretty quick. But you're also, like, tatted up. Like, I wouldn't worry.
Yeah. No, man, I mean, it seems like everyone out there's having a good time. Just walking here, like, through Midtown, it's like lots of people just, you know, happy as.
Well, yeah, Devin, you look all right, but definitely don't start talking.
Yeah.
Because then they're going to be like, oh, this guy's a total puffer. Right? And then just deck you in the face, steal your wallet, and, yeah, have fun.
Yeah, you're not from around here, are you? Yeah.
This movie is taking its time with the first kill.
Yeah, hey, I'm shocked about that.
Are we going to lose an Estevez first?
There. I'm wondering if what came first, the script or the grocery store.
Yeah.
Because this does make me feel like they had a grocery store, and we're like, I can make a movie around that.
Yeah, I think it was definitely the grocery store.
Yeah.
Or they were like, where's a cheap place where we could shoot the whole movie in one spot?
That's a big knife.
Oh, here we go.
So it wasn't Estevez. But we still don't know who the killer is, right?
No, I think that's the big reveal.
Right.
In regard to like what came first, the supermarket or the script, I think it's like in Robert Rodriguez's book about independent filmmaking. He says, like, before you even write the script, you look around yourself and go, right, what do I have? And then you write, include all of that shit.
I still can't believe we've been losing money consistently now for the past 2 years.
Sad but true.
Well, Danny, what the hell do you expect me to do? Just sit around here and watch him bulldoze this place to the ground come the first of the month?
As long as that check clears, they could turn this place into a porno shop for all I care.
You don't see those anymore. Cash out of the paper spike?
Like every once in a while at a diner or something?
Yeah.
But that's the only place you'll see it.
All right. I got a shitload of work to do. Why don't you go?
I mean, they were fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, how were there not more hand impaled on those thing injuries? Or maybe there was, and
there's
just
a great
didn't get
video
reported.
Of a magician. It's got to be in the last couple of years.
I fucking hate that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
He's doing a bit with one of those and a paper bag, and it's like almost like the three balls. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
But he's got one of those and three bags, and the trick is that he's supposed to put his hand through it, and he definitely fucks it up, and you just see the thing go whoom right through his hand.
Yeah. Oh. And that's not an illusion, people. Oh, that could have been some foreshadowing, too, though. I just thought of that.
Yeah.
It was pretty prominent in the shot, though.
Yeah.
I love a good trash compactor.
Did you see the video of the lady getting her arm crushed in the machine?
Oh, no, but I'm going to look that up after this.
It's some type of press, and she's at work. And, brother, she reaches across it to grab something, and it goes. And people come over and get her out of it. From halfway down her bicep to her wrist is flat.
Ugh.
I'm talking like Austin Powers fucking cartoon flat. And it just flops. Yeah, it shook me. That's a great shot. The way he comes out of the darkness like that, you see the hammer first. This is shot very well.
I was going to say,
little suspense moment. Go ahead.
I was going to say another good crushing kill is. Have you seen The Fly 2?
Mm-hmm.
So when that guy gets trapped underneath the elevator,
mm-hmm.
and then it explodes his head. Basically, that gave me nightmares as a kid.
Oh, that's fun. Almost the doorknob's point of view.
Mm.
Yeah, this is very creative. That Jeep Renegade's fucking sweet.
Oh, yeah, man. Look at that. That's got like a 3-4-inch lift on it, too.
That looks fun.
With the hard top. You got to get the hard top, man.
That looks fun to cruise around in.
Totally.
That's a back in the day, huh?
Yeah.
I miss when cars could be obnoxious. Just that fucking 80s XS.
The 80s stuff, and then I love all the late 60s, early 70s muscle cars that are just... You know, shaped like rockets and humongous.
I saw a muscle car on the way here. Like, I don't know anything about cars, but I could tell it was a muscle car, and it was like, but it was really modernized.
Uh-huh.
So it was like big and gray and like chunky, but then also like a sports car as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty weird looking.
Yeah, they've started to do that. Like, a lot of the new muscle cars are just old designs.
Yeah.
You know, modernized or whatever. But it looks cool on a lot of them, like the new Chargers and Camaros and all that.
Yeah. What a great that guy Ted Raimi is.
Uh-huh.
The second you see him, he's that guy.
Because you're not mad about it either. You're not like, oh, man, that guy. You're like, oh, that guy.
Yeah. That's exactly how to describe him.
Yeah.
He's a that guy.
Who was the guy that was in all of the Joe Dante films that was a that guy?
Oh, fuck. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Gremlins. He's in.
The guy that dies in Chopping Mall.
Yeah.
Dick Miller.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, he's awesome.
By the way, people at home are like, "This is too many nerds for one show." Or the.
I even it out.
We've overdone the autism quotient for for one episode. But yeah, he's the guy that dies in Gremlins and then is in Gremlins 2, and it's like, can't believe we survived that.
Yeah.
Can't believe we survived that bulldozing of our house.
Yeah, you guys are like baseball stats guys, but with horror movies.
Yeah.
More
like,
or less,
I'm so horrible with names and all that stuff. Like, I'm on Doug Loves Movies all the time, but he doesn't have me on because I'm good at it.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just like, yeah, you know, the guy from The Thing.
The guy from The Thing, yeah.
Yeah. He's in that other one and then that one. You know?
Oh, that's a great
shot.
That's
a nice shot, too. Yeah, through the bottle. Because you still can't tell who. Oh, no. Get the poker thingy. It's right there. It's right there.
Man. Ridge.
Turn the volume down.
Here's where my suspension of belief ends. Even in 1989, I don't believe this many people work overnight at a grocery store,
right,
and they're all white.
Yeah. Well, it is rural California, so
still, you're telling me that that's not a Mexican job in rural California.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
And I say that as a person who has had many Mexican jobs.
Yeah.
That looks great, by the way. And by the way, another thing with the foreshadowing and the fucking pokey.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe less herky-jerky with the hand. Just let it sit there.
No, that's a hard... directors love the herky-jerky hand.
Yeah?
They love the twitchy hand. For some reason, low-budget directors love the twitchy hand. It's because if it's not you in the shot, they can just have a crew member put your sleeve on.
Yeah.
So if you have a big effect, you can literally just put another white guy's arm in there and do the acting to make the whole piece look alive.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll see a lot of low-budget movies where it's a fake torso, fake head, and then they put a crew member's arm in there to give it life.
One of the most famous example of that I know is when Mrs. Voorhees dies on Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah, any beheading scene.
More alive.
Any beheading scene in a horror movie, they'll have the actor or a stunt person with similar arms crouching with their hands in the long sleeve that they're always wearing when you get beheaded.
Totally.
Going like this.
Yeah, if you look at Mrs. Voorhees' hands, she's got hairy knuckles because it was the stunt director.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite. That one's my favorite.
Yeah,
the first one? Oh, yeah, for sure. That one fucked me up when I was a kid.
Yeah, part six is my favorite. The first one where he comes back as a zombie.
Sure. Yeah,
that was my movie as a kid.
Yeah. No, the original.
I am very partial to Jason X.
Oh, I love Jason X.
I think it's surprisingly good.
Yeah, man. I saw that in the theater when it first came out, and it was me and one other guy. And the other guy left halfway through. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just me in the theater alone.
Yeah, I remember being real pumped on that. Trauma does a lot of the handshaky because one of our go-to deaths is the head crushing.
Yeah.
So, and it's always somebody's planted in, shaking the hands. So that it doesn't look like a piece of rubber underneath a car.
Could you die more shaky, please?
I do shaky hands in my own goddamn death scene in one of the movies. I get my head impaled by a cock.
And then you just and Parkinson's
it
up.
And I had to do shaky hands.
What
I love
creep.
Some of these POVs. It really sets up like... And I know a lot of slashers, the whole thing is voyeurism.
Yeah.
But it's that they're all handheld like that, that you really do feel like you're creeping around this joint.
Yeah. Well, and then the other dude. So he's just sitting there. He's just a peeper.
Yes. So, see, all those cereal boxes are out.
Yeah.
And those are all real brands.
Yeah.
I'd imagine there's loopholes to it.
Right.
Crazy Cow. I've never heard of that one.
That one, I bet. So that one had a close-up.
Oh, was that the pink one?
Crazy Cow had a close-up in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Oh, high in the olives.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Crazy Cow had a close-up, so I feel like that might be a fake brand. Right. Because they showed that in the beginning going into somebody's cart, like in a close-up.
But it had the General Mills thing on it, yeah?
Oh, did it? Maybe
I think
it's real. I apologize.
I think that was the one that turned your milk pink.
General Mills Crazy Cow cereal is real. Wow.
Thank you. Did it have any? Did it do anything cool?
I'll tell you in 1 second.
Yeah, I think that was like the strawberry.
This is the
flavoring.
Least realistic way to ever chop anything.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not the right knife for it.
And the knife is clean every time he brings it back.
Oh, that's great that he's had the headphones on the whole time. You see him split down the middle.
Yeah.
Perfect. Safe.
Knives are sharp.
That's
and then
brilliant.
Go to him, open up a box.
Brilliant.
You dumbass. What a choke.
Yeah, it would flavor the milk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I remember. Somebody put my buddy John, who's been on the show before, John Brennan, who's on Joe Bob Briggs.
Okay.
He posted his Ninja Turtle cereal bowls from when he was a kid, and he posted a picture of the cereal. And the second I saw it, I'm like, I remember what that tastes like. Oh, wow. That's like the bad piece in Chex Mix. And not good marshmallows. I remember that Ninja Turtle cereal viscerally. Trey, how old are you?
Fitty.
Fitty?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I was going to, there was a toy I remember that for some reason, so I'm 35, everyone my age, I named this one specific toy brand and everyone viscerally can remember what it smelled like. They were called Street Sharks. Street Sharks. They're a ripoff of Ninja Turtles. And they have this, for some reason, it's the only thing, they smelled like rubber. So they had big hand puppets and they had smaller figures and this rubber smell. And it's just, the second you look at it, you're 5 years old again. And you're like, I remember that smell. I remember those toys so fucking viscerally.
Yeah.
I really like those toys. I don't remember the smell, but I always liked them better than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They had more cool shit on them.
I think it's because I like sharks and that. But
yeah. Well, they had wheels.
Yeah.
They had the head on the bad guy turned around. They had, like, functions.
Right, right.
More so than the Ninja Turtles toys did.
Yeah, all our shit growing up just smelled like asbestos.
Yeah.
And lead. That's all our toys. No, I'm not that old.
Yeah. Trey's playing with lawn darts.
We did have lawn darts. Yeah, for real.
Have you seen Pop Darts yet?
No.
So they're I bought a pack for here at the office. Essentially it's smaller lawn darts but safe, and it's a rubber suction cup on both ends. And you can play on the wall or you can play on a table. And there's one that goes in the middle, and the goal is to try and stick yours on the one in the middle. And it's essentially bocce rules. Whoever gets the closest gets the points.
Uh-huh.
Really fucking fun.
But that's why cups on both ends.
Yeah.
Huh.
Really, really fun.
All right. Because original lawn darts were dope, yo.
Yeah.
But that was something where you were like, when they were like, hey, we got to get rid of lawn darts, you were like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That clocks.
Yeah. Because they really, I mean, those things were beefy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, it has picked up the pace as far as kills. What are we on, 3 or 4 now?
Yeah, something like that.
You guys quit screwing around here trying to work. Yeah, Estevez through the eye, knife in head. Is there one more?
And then, oh no, yeah, that was Raimi knife.
There we go.
Oh, that's great.
Blood in front, soda in the back. Oh, it's beer.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, what this an awesome shot.
He got stabbed through the beer. By the way, there's no way the knife is that long.
Yeah. No.
That's a crazy long knife.
That's a fucking sword.
That's a sword.
Yeah.
And I love the cuts between everything.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, when I suggested this...
so far so awesome.
When I suggested this, it was only because of one specific kill. But then, like, I forgot how well made it is.
There's no way they're showing this thing so many times and not using it. Because what is it, the third or fourth time we've seen this machine?
So that's the killer, yeah?
Hey. Who is that? You? I know it's you.
That guy sounds like me.
That guy sounds high out of his mind all the time.
Think you're gonna give old Bob another wedgie?
Mm-mm.
Well, you know, I really think not. Because I had the foresight not to wear any underwear, Tim.
Yeah.
Very funny, dick.
I think the wedgie got to be one of the most traumatizing, you know, bully things.
Yeah, that was
you could do to somebody.
That was never a
or
thing
have
in
done
the UK.
To you.
Really?
Really?
Nah, man. No. Oh, that's like, unless someone was copying a movie, but like, yeah, like a Melvin or a Wedgie, like, no, it wasn't the thing. I
figure that came from the UK.
What's a Melvin?
Well, I mean, Melvin is what they say in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. It's
yeah,
just
yeah.
a Wedgie. It's another name.
Oh, okay.
For it,
I thought it was like a Wet Willy.
No. Well, maybe, but they say Melvin in the movie.
No, that was hazing for the wrestling team when I was in ninth grade. All the seniors would jump you and give you a Wedgie until your underwear.
It's kind of weird. That's kind of where it was prevalent for me, was wrestling in junior high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I invented the... So then the prank after that because they banned the they had to ban the wedgies because they got violent. After that was so we had an older coach named Mr. Barnaber, and they would go, "Hey, Coach B needs to see you in his office after practice," but you would go in, and he would just be sitting there naked reading the paper because he would take a shower and then hang out in his office naked. That was sick.
Fuck.
And you knew they had to use that compressor.
That is like, that's like my worst nightmare.
That's great. That's very reminiscent of the drug dealer that's killed Toxic Avenger with the weight machine.
Yeah. I was going to mention that earlier when you said about the handshake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very trauma. So you would go, "Hey, Mr. B needs to see you right after practice." And you would go in and there'd just be a naked old man reading the paper. And you would always see his dick. Then they banned that because he caught on to it.
His dick? Banned his dick?
No, he caught on to the fact that kids just kept walking into his office and be like, "Hey, you needed to see me?" And he'd be like, "No," and just sitting there naked.
Oh.
So then I came up with, this is definitely assault.
okay.
So we had the scale
well, okay.
where the numbers would be at like pretty much waist length. It would scale and then a stick and then the numbers.
Right.
And guys I noticed would always go like this and go, "Hey, read the scale for me," because they thought they would weigh less if they like stood up straight. So I would just put my dick and balls on the number.
Ah, there you go.
"Hey, could you read the scale for me real quick?" Oh.
The hook. Oh, I was hoping for the whole hook rack. Oh. Oh, hanging though. That's good.
Yeah, so he was supposed to get gutted. And then his brother came up with that to hang him like a piece of meat.
He was a much
under
more,
the chin.
Yeah, through the mandible.
Yeah.
He was much more of this film than I thought he'd be.
Yeah.
The mandible claw.
Well, that's why it's called that.
Yeah.
Do you know the story behind the mandible claw?
No.
Oh, you ready for some nerdy shit?
Yeah, please.
Okay. The movie The Fugitive. Can you look up the name of the real guy from The Fugitive in
like the
booth, please?
Old one or the one?
I mean, they're based on the same... There was a real guy who got accused of murdering his wife.
Oh, okay.
Could you give me the name?
Sam Shepard?
Thank you. So this real-life doctor, and that's who it's based on, not the actor, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this real doctor got accused of murdering his wife. He gets acquitted, but he's so infamous after the murder trial that he couldn't practice medicine anymore.
Okay.
So he became a pro wrestler. And Foley tells this story in his book, so this could be part legend. But
Deli Slicer. Yep.
So he came up with the mandible claw as a nerve hold because you have, he would say it was a paralyzing hold because what it is, it's under the tongue and under here. If you put your thumb where your jawbone ends, because people get that pierced.
Yeah.
Because it's all meat.
Really?
There's nothing here. There's no bone here.
Right.
But if you hit it good with your thumb, it hurts like hell.
Yeah, dude.
Because people are always like, "Oh, why don't you bite his hand?" I was like, because you're in paralyzing pain.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, that guy, when he became a pro wrestler, that was his finish.
Wow.
And then when Mick Foley became Mankind instead of Cactus Jack, he was looking for a new finish where it was going to be the first submission where you could get close-ups of both guys in one shot.
Oh, interesting.
Because he took TV production, and he put a lot of his moves in terms of how can they shoot this. So the way he would do it was always he would get himself in a position for the camera people. And that's why he chose that as his new finish.
Yeah. That was with the sock as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Originally, he had a glove with two fingers that were connected. Very funny guy. And then he moved on to the sock when he became like a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. I used to love Mankind back in the day.
He's still my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that,
when
awesome.
He gets thrown off the hell in the cell. Just an epic moment.
Dude, I ran into Undertaker in the Atlanta airport. And that was the one thing was like, you know, I didn't want to, it was early on, so people hadn't started coming up to him. So I just walked over to him and I was like, "Hey, man, I don't want to bother you, but I just want to tell you, you know, that match with Mick Foley will be burned into my brain forever."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Glad we did some good that night." And that was it. Left him alone.
That's the cool. I love I love little, like when you get to just say hey or like fist bump somebody.
Yeah.
That always feels good. You're like, I didn't fuck his day up.
Yeah.
But I got to be like, sup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I put my hand on his shoulder too when I was talking. You know, I was like, hey man, I don't want to look. I was like, I gotta touch him.
I got to do that with George Romero.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I was at a con, and it was Brighton Comic Con, and I didn't have any money, so I couldn't pay for anything. But I just thought, if I don't take the opportunity now, I'll never have one. So I went up to him, and I just said, hey, man, I just want to say thank you for everything you've ever done. And he looked up at me, laughed, and went, no problem. And I just walked away, and that was
perfect.
It.
Yeah, those are those fucking great interactions. Hey, I had Triple H and Stephanie.
Oh, right.
When I was working for MTV years ago, I had to go deliver something at, like, 6 in the morning. And yeah. It was an empty hallway at the MTV building. And I was going one way and Triple H and Stephanie were coming the other.
Yeah.
And I tried to two sweet Triple H. And he just looked at me and goes, no. And I was like, perfect. And I walked and I was like, that's so much better than if he was nice to me.
Oh.
He went, nah, man. And then Stephanie laughed. And I was like, that was so much better that he stayed bad. Because it was like one of those things where there was no witnesses.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was such a funnier story that he stayed in character with no one there.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Well, I love all the clips of what's his face, the AEW guy, at like all the public events and stuff where he just stays in character the whole time.
Oh, which one? MJF.
Yes, MJF.
MJF, yeah, constant heel.
So good.
At signings. Yeah, at signings, he'll, like, flip off little kids and shit.
That was brilliant.
There's a comic who, I remain nameless, was at an AEW event and took a picture with MJF for MJF because he knew him. And he's like, can I get one on my phone? He's like, yeah, but I have to frown. He's like, I can't take a nice picture with you. I don't do that.
Oh, that's great. Right on.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a dedication to the character.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. This is the one I remember.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Yeah, this is the best one, I think.
Oh, this is great.
Oh that's so gnarly. Oh, that's so gnarly.
The teeth really make it.
Oh.
Oh, that's visceral.
Savage. Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
That's the
reason I picked this movie for that. It's so good.
Dave? That was cut so good, too, because it was just enough. Because had they lingered on it, you would have started to see inconsistencies with the head.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just fast enough.
Yeah, that was really good. A good one.
Have you seen City of the Living Dead?
Mm-hmm.
So is that the movie with the drill piece scene? That's quite similar.
So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like that effect is so good as well.
Best meats.
Yeah, no, the Italians figured out the stretching out the death really good. Like the eyeball and the splinter and zombie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was one that when I was too young to watch horror movies, that was one that my dad told me about before I saw it, and he was like, that's one of the worst things he'd ever seen.
Did you ever have any trouble getting movies, or you're past the video nasty age?
Yeah, I guess, like, so growing up in the 90s, it was still kind of fresh in people's minds. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we didn't really get many movies that were banned, and now, obviously, everything's online, so it's not a problem, but... Looking at some of the video nasties, man, they're like nothing.
Oh, yeah.
It was all done by Margaret Thatcher, not to get political or whatever, but she was fucking up at the time, and she needed sort of a scapegoat. And so she picked on the movie. She got this woman called Mary Whitehouse to come and get involved, and she was like this proper Christian, like moral panic type person.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what the film was, but these filmmakers sent a copy to Mary Whitehouse of their film and said, this is the most disgusting thing ever, to try and get some free promotion. But instead what they did was kick off the whole video nasty era. That's literally the story of how it started.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, so you guys definitely didn't have, like, the Faces of Death movies and all that.
Yeah, not at the time, no. I mean,
like Texas Chainsaw, they couldn't get for a while.
Yeah, because of the cover. Like, Driller Killer as well.
And Texas Chainsaw has no blood in it.
Yeah, literally, yeah. It was mad. But, like, police were raiding video stores and arresting people that had stuff in their stock.
And yeah, you could get sent to jail for that shit.
And I'm, God damn it, is it an Addicts? Who does I Love Mary Whitehouse? Is that the Addicts?
I don't know. I don't know.
Fuck. It's either the Addicts or there was like a, not Crass, but like a fucking street punk band like the All of Mary Whitehouse. She don't love me.
It's the Addicts.
It is the Addicts. Thank you. I couldn't remember if it was them or another one, but
I need to listen to that.
There's a great letter from Robert Smith when The Cure was on tour.
Yeah.
Where he was supposed to have a day off in New York City.
Right.
But they canceled it for him to do press.
Okay.
And it was a letter he wrote to the record executive of, here's a list of movies I'm not allowed to buy in England.
Right.
That I was going to buy in New York that day. Mm-hmm. Can you please send them all to me on stuff I can play in England?
Right, okay.
And it was literally just, he sent the Video Nasty list.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I would like all these. It was like him being mad that he lost his day in New York to go shopping.
Yeah.
He's like, you owe me all these movies.
Yeah, and that would have been a great time in New York as well to find all of that shit. But I was going to do a whole series on the channel going through every single Video Nasty, and then I just quickly realized that actually, compared to the shit that I do cover...
Yeah, yeah, it's so nothing, tame.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of it's like easy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just got a reputation.
Yeah, I did Maniac recently, and that was like one of the worst performing videos I've done, just because it's like so tame in comparison.
That looks sick. I always love when they... And it is the Texas Chainsaw thing where they just show that meat's meat.
Yeah.
And once you're dead, to put you with all the other animal carcasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, it just is so gross. Like, I live... That was
the weakest hand trying to get through the door.
I live next to a halal grocery store, and the fucking seeing the goats coming in the morning is brutal.
It. Oh, right.
Because
they
just carry them on their shoulder. Yeah. It's like skinned with their tugs out.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that's gnarly.
I thought you meant still alive. Like, that's depressing in and of itself.
No, no, they bring them in a van in the morning because they hang them upside down in the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was. I don't know if it's still there, but when I lived in Bushwick, there was a place right on Myrtle there under the train that, you know, killed chickens. And so you'd walk by. You know, you could buy chickens there, too, take home. But, you know, you'd walk by and there'd always be blood on the sidewalk and stuff like that.
My buddy lived in a very Ecuadorian neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we went to the grocery store and he goes, go look what's in the freezer. And it was guinea pigs.
Oh.
He's like, yeah, they eat them here. Oh. There's a section.
That's some Faces of Death stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Half off, because he's...
Dude, this is my kind of humor.
Oh, it's so good.
Red
new
blood.
Crush-proof box.
I say it a lot on the show. I love... the neon red blood.
Yeah.
And I wish more people would do it. So people complain that it looks cartoony, but I like, isn't that why we're watching this?
Yeah, yeah.
That it's essentially like Looney Tunes with consequences.
Yeah.
Right.
That's another thing that the Italians do really well. Like,
the blood,
in all those giallo movies, it's like super red. It's like red paint.
I mean, the amount of... returns in this movie, like everything that was foreshadowed is paid off so well in this. Like every little piece of machinery almost that's featured, you get to have a gag with.
Yeah.
Somebody really went through this spot and really like put time into it.
Mm.
Yeah, like the acting is fun bad. But the movie itself, like, you're like, this is a solid movie.
Yeah.
This isn't nearly as horrible as I thought it was going to be.
Fantastic.
And by horrible, I mean, you know, pretty great still, but this is way better. And it's just offset a little. Oh.
So that definitely is generic beer because no beer company wanted their label with the gore.
Oh, fair. That's like some Pathmark beer. Remember the No Frills? Back in the day.
Fuck, I used to get beer at fucking, like, Rite Aid. I can't remember what it was. It was, like, their brand. and it was like $5 six packs when I was like 20 something.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was the garbagest. But it was like that. It was like generic. It just said beer.
I thought that was Doug Stanhope for a second.
That would be amazing.
Right?
Nope, and her one chance at help. And she was crazy because she's running around with a hook.
Let me
go! My dad put one of those hooks under my pillow when I was a kid when I saw I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, what a legend. That's amazing.
The hand hooks?
Uh-huh.
He hid it under my pillow, so I woke up with it.
Wow, that's pretty great.
Yeah, that's psychological torture, I found out.
How did it make you feel at the time?
Terrified.
Right.
Yeah, psychological torture is the worst.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, that's my same dad who chased me around the house with an axe after we watched The Shining.
Right.
Dude. That's how you make this, by the way.
Yeah, those are the ingredients.
Yep.
The Simpsons, is it one of the Treehouse of Terrors? The Cape Fear one where Homer keeps busting into...
Hey, Parker, let's see when he chases our chalky mask!
Every time I think of that dude, it cracks me up, and I think of it regularly.
That's my favorite episode.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a good one.
When he goes to cut him the brownie.
Yeah, because he's cutting up the whole thing of brownies. Hey, why is there a new knife? Look at this!
I gotta pee. Is this a good time to go pee?
Yeah, go piss. Hey, John Joe, well, I got your second. What were your favorite scary shit as you were a kid?
Well, my favorite movie was Friday the 13th, Part 6. I saw that super young.
Okay.
So I loved that for years, and then I just watched all of those movies. But then it was Scream. Scream was huge for me.
Same.
For a few reasons, but I mean... It was the fact that they were, you know, self-referential, but also the twist of who the killer is at the end just blew my fucking mind because I was so used to Jason and Michael and Freddy and stuff, you know? So those are my two favorites growing up and still are.
Yeah, Scream was big. Scream really changed it. I was in, like, sixth grade when I saw Scream, and that was the fucking be-all, end-all.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we had it on pirate video, so I saw it, like, I must have been, like, 9 or something, and yeah. Just calm down. You're going to be fine now. You're going to be safe. Just wait here and...
So you saw that she hooked the stalker dude. So the co-owner of the store has now come to save her.
Yeah, Mustache Man, who was telling the story earlier.
The guy who was telling the story of the guy eating the hamburger with no head.
Right, right. She killed the very non-threatening guy.
She killed the very non-threatening guy who definitely is not the killer.
Right. The guy you're least afraid of in the entire
movie. And the only other person that's left alive in the movie has now come to help her. He hugged her. And now she realizes he has a hole in his hand from where she hooked him.
Not even trying to cover it.
It's so good the way he looked like.
Oh, that's so cool. Over the fucking things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lovely
shot. Oh, that's so like, that's like a lion chasing a gazelle. That's so cool.
Oh, and then just catches it right at the very end. Oh. She didn't start with, you tore out a chunk of my hair.
Danny was always a big boss. He always called the shots on every business deal till now. I couldn't let that son of a bitch take the store away from me. The store's my whole life.
That's a good reason.
Kill him.
Yeah, I thought he meant the store made him do it.
That would have been better.
Ascension Grocery Store.
Yeah. He
needs to be fed bodies.
Yeah, man.
To be honest with you, pretty good idea.
It's like the neighbor's dog, but a grocery store.
Sorry, his reasoning here for killing everyone else was...
They were going to sell the store.
No, but I mean, that's why he killed the boss.
Yeah.
But everyone else?
Well, it had to. Collateral damage or whatever.
They were just there, so...
Maybe so that nobody would want to buy it?
Yeah,
for fun. Yeah, bust him with that bottle. There you go.
Oh, no breaky? And then it breaks.
Yep. quick, hit him with that bag of popcorn.
For real.
Just pick all the worst things. Good, cotton candy.
Jiffy Pop.
Yep. I do love the motif that his hand's bleeding so much, though.
Yeah.
Oh, the thrift store section. Okay. I love that. The thrift store section of the grocery store. I didn't see a single cardigan. What is...
That's, you know. That wasn't her pissing herself, was it?
I don't think so. Oh, no, I think it's the broken bottle.
Okay.
That looks sick, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This movie is so fucking interestingly shot. What a bad hiding job. Gee, I bet she's behind the shaking Jiffy Pop below her own shadow.
And you can see her through the peg holes. Smile. Now smile. Oh.
That's so sick, dude.
Yeah, he looks like the thing from the Tron video game.
Oh, I thought he looked like Zordon from Power Rangers.
Yeah.
That was another movie I loved as a kid. Yeah, Power Rangers the movie.
Great shot. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, really good. From the boots all the way up, the bloody hand and the cleave. Cleaver, not cleavage.
Yeah.
As advertised, still.
That's a lot of popcorn for $3.
I mean, even for the 80s.
So there's no way that that popcorn's not going all over the ground, right?
That was a pretty good shot, too.
Yeah, it was. A little reminiscent of Psycho, too, with the bloody water in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you are. Yeah, why would you hide in a box?
There's no way there's not... What did I say? There's no way popcorn isn't going everywhere.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, like, he's straight up cleaving the popcorn.
Yeah, he went popcorn first.
Yeah. He's like, hold on, let me make a mess first before I kill this bitch.
Nice.
All right, I say double stab and drowns him in the lobster tank.
Yeah, we already had a hand go in there, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping for some sweet, like, Shaolin knife moves or something.
How big are the knives in this fucking movie? These are the biggest fucking kitchen knives I've ever seen in a movie. What are they doing at this grocery store that they need swords in every room? Oh, that's fun.
Is he going to put him back up?
Yeah. That's great. That's fucking great.
Well, he is the assistant manager, you know.
So the move to be would be to knock all the shelves over so that he has to clean it all up.
Right?
But also, it's a real grocery store, so I don't know if they can do that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Through the generic Frosted Flakes. By the hair, too. That's twice by the hair.
Yeah.
Oh, wheat germ. Remember wheat germ?
My grandma used to put that in pancakes.
Just keep trying. It'll open.
Yeah. It's a poll.
In the weakest way possible, too. Like,
Have you seen that one sketch in I Think You Should Leave Now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pizza guy. Oh, bread delivery.
Oh, how'd he get outside so quickly?
Imagine you're this guy. What do you do in the movie? I'm in the movie for 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Blood squirts out of my mouth and I shake a bunch.
In fact,
and
I think
then
that's
he pops
the
him on the head.
If I'm right, that's the director.
Good for him. Putting himself in, giving him a good part. He just jangles the keys.
By the way, the film is partially based around the director's experience working at the real Walnut Lake Market in Michigan. It is also a remake of an earlier Super 8 short he did called Night Crew, which featured a more Michael Myers-esque killer.
Huh.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure that was the director that was the bread guy.
What was the director's name? Is it Lawrence Bender?
Scott something.
Oh, Spiegel.
Oh, yep. Director Scott Spiegel cameos as the ill-fated Breadman.
Okay.
Breadman.
That's great. That's a fun cameo for a director.
Breadman. Breadman with the pretty, 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 pretty. Anybody else? Yeah. Bread fan, little bread fan for everybody. Who was it? Budgie? Budgie? Was that the name of the band? Budgie, I think.
I'm not sure.
And then Metallica redid it. That's a dope song.
Help me. Come on, help me.
Danny?
Ah, fooled you.
Jesus.
Help me.
I love it. Looks like Jake the Snake.
It's so awesome. He used the head as a puppet.
So now stalker boyfriend's going to come back.
Oh, he grabbed it with his hand. That's not...
Oh, I think that knife bent a little in his hand, too. But that's
gross. Oh, you
gross.
Think stalker boy... It did. Look at that. Oh, that's such a great prop knife. Wait, you think not creepy dude that got stabbed in the neck
is
going to come back and save the day?
I think he's going to be holding his wound.
Oh, right, because it's the 80s. You can't have a woman killing at the end.
No, it's
right? And saving
saved.
The day.
I would
right.
assume so.
It's got to be a dude that's.
I love
it.
He's eating a sandwich.
Fucking Parker. Walking down 9 miles, swinging a goddamn head by the hair in one hand. And he's saying.
It's the story.
Yeah.
Man, this guy really doesn't give a shit, huh?
This is a fucking great role.
You're playing hard to get. Right off.
This guy's been the killer, revealed as a killer for a long time, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's
look at
running
that
pretty slow.
That's so good. That was better than her trying to bust the door. And how did you know he was? You've seen this. Before.
I've never seen this. I just kind of know the trope. No, now he's got to die. Now that he's being forceful like that.
There's no way he's the hero in this.
I saw him kill Linda. I tried to run after him, but he ran into the store and locked the doors before.
This is too long of a story. There's a killer here.
Yeah.
Now listen, I got in here through the bathroom window, and that's how we're going to get out of here.
Run, bitch.
Yeah,
well, he's not dead
your window.
Yet, yeah, that was her actually. She actually ran there.
He's beating him with a head, by the way.
Oh, I thought it was a purse. I don't know why I thought it was a purse. He was just walking down the aisle with a head in his hand. Of course it's a head. Oh.
Oh, no. She's going to have a change of conscience where he came to save her, so she's got to save him.
Well, but he's still not dead, right? We still don't know dead. That he's dead.
No, just beaten severely with a head.
Which does hurt. But kill ya? I don't know. This girl sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's her Jeep.
Oh, no! Dead body in the Jeep.
Great.
Oh, he's under the car! Ah, that's what you get for putting a 3-inch lift on that thing.
Yep. That, you know what? That might be why the thing's lifted.
Ah, they're like, we got it.
So they can do that scene.
Right.
And she's got the knife.
She better have the knife.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah, you can see it under. Leave it to Cleaver.
Nice.
Fantastic.
The knife went flying out when he hit the ground.
Perfect.
Awesome.
And now pop scare where the boyfriend comes back out. Nope. Smart. Or she's going to move and he's not there anymore.
Yeah, he needs to be stabbed at least 30 more times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's gonna bang on the back of it. I'm thinking, hello, police, pop scare.
This is Jennifer Ross. I'm at 2100 Walnut Lake Road. This is an emergency.
Well, I could tell you sound distressed.
Yep. Beating him with the phone.
Yeah.
Where happened to his knife? He's had a cleaver.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it fell when he crashed through the window there.
Oh, no, not into this pile of boxes that were conveniently right there.
Look at the bottom of it, too. Like, clearly a prop phone booth. It had the dolly, the...
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. What's he? Oh, he's got the cleaver now.
That's very final chapter.
Look, he even chops non-threateningly. Like,
yeah, this guy sucks at chopping.
Did that hurt? He's got the right idea, though. He's doing it enough times.
Yeah. Oh, but are the cops going to kill him when they see him with the thing?
I hope he gets hit by the bread truck.
That's a fucking great shot, too.
Yeah, that's pretty groovy.
I would put that thing down before the cops get there, though.
Right? He's still holding on to it. And he still doesn't look menacing.
Nope. All right, freeze. And that's Bruce Campbell. Who's on the DVD cover?
At the very end of the movie.
That's why I thought it was funny you said groovy just before he turned up.
Hey! It's my fox cutter! Wow, he looks great. He looks like he could be on the Melrose Place or something.
I love that Bruce Campbell just shows up and he's way too good looking to be in the rest of the movie.
Wait a minute, no. He's the murderer.
Damn it.
Look,
he's
down.
Damn it.
Get out.
How is he still alive?
So are they going to give him just based off of that?
Well, we did get testimony from a dying, creepy old man with a mustache.
Yeah.
Ow!
Leave her alone.
Well, clearly it was the guy in the leather jacket.
They got bodies all over the place. They're all mutilated.
He did it.
You're under arrest. That's good.
You listen carefully. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say.
And he's dead now. Oh, no.
No, he's not. Wait, so that's how they're going to end it?
Yep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Intruder.
Wow.
Yeah.
A movie advertised as starring Renee Estevez and Bruce Campbell.
And Elizabeth Cox, Courtney Cox's sister. Danny Hicks, Bill Hicks's brother. David Burns, everybody knows him from Talking Heads.
Well, and Townie and Carr, Greg Nicotero.
Eugene Glazer, Alana Glazer's dad.
Oh, it says Officer Adams is Lawrence Bender, so that's another writer cameo, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Scott Spiegel, Breadman.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. What a fun movie.
Yeah,
what fun guests. Please support everything Trey does. Please follow John Joe Lyons' reviews on YouTube. Check him out. He reviews really, really fucking cool movies. And if you're ever in the mood to watch something really gory and fucked up, he's going to have all the great suggestions. So please check out his page. Give him a follow.
Yeah, thank
you,
Zach.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Zach Amigo's Midnight Spook Show. Bye. And we're just going to take a picture for the YouTube.